Matt Bevan is here taking a look at what's making headlines around the world this morning and some very big protests taking place.
Yeah, indeed, Hamish. In Lebanon, in fact. And before I get to that, I want to ask you a question. When you, Hamish, need to call someone, what do you usually use? Do you use the standard phone app or one of the others, the WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, FaceTime, Skype, that sort of thing?
Sometimes use FaceTime audio, yes.
But mostly the phone or?
Probably predominantly the phone.
Yeah.
It depends on whether I'm calling someone overseas. But if I, my nephew studies overseas, I would call him using FaceTime audio.
Sure. Well, one of the big advantages of using an app to call people is it's free to call anyone anywhere in the world as long as you have a smartphone with a data plan or a Wi-Fi connection. That's one of the things which drew so many people around the world to get onto these services, the low price of $0. In Australia, the price of calling people on a phone still remains very low, though, for domestic calls. So a lot of Australians still use regular phone calls domestically, but in developing countries, these apps are huge. WhatsApp alone has more than 1.5 billion monthly users making free calls and sending free messages. In Lebanon, though, regular phone calls are relatively expensive, with the state-owned mobile phone companies charging some of the highest rates in the Middle East. So unsurprisingly, more than half of the Lebanese population is using one of these apps for their phone calls domestically. Meanwhile, the government of Lebanon has a problem with its budget.
We came to the direct step in order to lower the deficit. How can we increase the income? How can we increase the income for the government? Then we reached, after many meetings, we reached an agreement.
So that's the Prime Minister Saad Hariri there. He leads a coalition government which has declared a state of economic emergency. Lebanon has one of the world's highest debt burdens, along with low growth and crumbling infrastructure that the government doesn't have enough money to fix. $16 billion have been pledged for the government to instigate various fixes to the country by donors, including international donors. But that is contingent on the government reforming itself, improving its fiscal situation, becoming less corrupt, and decreasing its deficit. So, on that last point, last week, the Hariri government announced that they would be putting a fee on WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, FaceTime, and other internet-based calls, equivalent to about 30 Australian cents a day, hoping to bring in around $365 million annually to their budget. This was very unpopular. Protests began in Beirut, huge protests. Some estimate a million people turned out in a country of only around 6 million people. They started the protest against WhatsApp fees, but they quickly became more widespread in their focus to be against general corruption and poor governance. And the protests comprised of all sorts of people, including religious leaders. Those are Christian and Muslim leaders marching through the protest hand in hand. There was also a party atmosphere thanks to a DJ. I'll just keep that beat going. In the face of this, the government changed tack. They dropped the WhatsApp fee and decided to raise the money through other means. Hariri announced that he would reduce the salaries of current and former presidents, ministers and MPs by 50% and cut benefits to state institutions and officials. He would also put oblige central and private banks to contribute $3.3 billion to achieve a net zero deficit for the 2020 budget, and he would be privatising the telecommunications sector and overhauling the electricity sector, which poses one of the biggest strains on the country's depleted finances. So bank taxes, cuts to officials' salaries and that sort of thing, it's going to be a big change for them and possibly a bit more popular than a WhatsApp tax. Hariri said that in the midst of the protests, he understood the grievances of the people.
There is real pain that exploded yesterday. People gave us more than one chance in the last 8 years. The first time, the second time, the third time, tenth time, they waited for us to do something and begin with the reforms and to begin these projects and to keep and to make way for new jobs for the young men and women.
He doesn't take responsibility himself, though. He says that it's his partners in the coalition government that are holding him back. And he says that they have 72 hours to agree to his reform package or to come up with another deal.
If anyone believes that they have a solution other than this solution, then they should come and tell us beforehand. It is we should not let the people suffer. We should not let the street explode. We should not let them collapse.
This is a big deal, though, Hamish. The protests weren't confined to Beirut. If you were out in Sydney yesterday around Martin Place, you would have seen some people protesting. Yeah.
It's big crowds in Australia as well.
Yeah, big crowds. A big Lebanese population in Sydney, and they're supportive of these protesters back home.
Now, Matt, you have also been busy working on your podcast. Season 3... today, Russia, if you're listening, launches.
Yes, indeed. If you decide after listening to RN Breakfast that you would like to listen to Russia, if you're listening, it is the first episode of season 3, which is all about the Salisbury attack about 19 months ago, is in the ABC Listen app now and on all good podcast apps.
So is there a particular focus for season 3?
Yeah, so we're focusing on Vladimir Putin's attempts to influence Western democracies all over Europe, mainly. We've been focusing on America in previous seasons. This season is going to be all about Europe, and we're going to wind around and we'll eventually get to Ukraine. And there are other interesting things that have been happening there in relation to America as well.
Okay, we'll leave you to it and we'll speak to you again next hour.
Thanks, Hamish.